I am heading to Columbia, South Carolina today, Monday, to speak to the class of Danny Morrison and Susan O'Malley at the University of South Carolina. Their class, From the President's Office, Life Lessons, Leadership, and Sport. Both Danny Morrison and Susan O'Malley have been great mentors and friends, and I always enjoy speaking to their students. And this is your Morning Buzzcast for Monday, March 18th. Good morning, I'm Abe Madcore. Thanks for listening to the Buzzcast. Nominees for the Sports Business Awards were unveiled this morning. 90 nominees in 18 categories. Winners will be announced May 22nd at the New York Marriott Marquis Times Square. There are some themes that emerged during the awards. A lot of love for MLS, MLB, and NASCAR. Lionel Messi's signing with Inter Miami led to a number of nominations, including for Deal of the Year, Inter Miami for Team of the Year, Jorge Mas for Executive of the Year, and Major League Soccer for League of the Year. MLB is up for League of the Year. Commissioner Rob Manfred is up for Executive of the Year. And the World Baseball Classic is up for Event of the Year. Meanwhile, NASCAR also had a big year with nominations for League of the Year, Deal of the Year, and Event of the Year for its NASCAR Chicago Street Race. Deal of the Year was for its seven-year media rights deal with Fox, NBC, Prime Video, and TNT. So we will also honor the McClendon Foundation with our Celebration of Service Awards and Arthur Blank with our Lifetime Achievement Award. These nominees this year were judged as having the best 12-month body of work, significant gains, business accomplishments, business and brand development. Yes, there were plenty of others that had good years, but these are not legacy awards. We are looking for the companies that had the best 12 months. Also, a few have asked about opportunities to be a judge for the awards. If you are interested, let me know. Please come prepared to put in some work and have a non-biased, open, and smart mind. It's a great judging process. Now, the event, the Sports Business Awards, has sold out the past 2 years. So make your plans early to attend the gala on May 22nd. The event will be co-hosted again by L. Duncan and Jay Williams. Let's move on. What a weekend for the NWSL. It was really historic. First, major props to Chris and Angie Long, as the owners of the KC Current celebrated the opening of the world's first stadium for a women's pro sports team. As CPKC Stadium opened on Saturday, it's an 11,500-seat venue. It cost $120 million. It was paid for almost entirely privately. And so the scene Saturday, quite a scene, a sellout. It was the first NWSL game broadcast on ABC as part of the league's new media rights deal. Commissioner Jessica Berman was on the ground in Kansas City on Saturday. She called the stadium so much more than she anticipated and expected. She called it a game changer for the league, and it will be. This stadium will have a long-term impact because other NWSL teams will see this and they'll invest in their own facilities. Meanwhile, a hat tip to David Blitzer and Ryan Smith, owners of the NWSL Utah Royals. They returned to the pitch on Saturday in front of more than 20,000 fans in Utah. It was the largest crowd that's ever attended a women's soccer match in the history of the state of Utah. Remember, the Royals left Utah after 2020. The team was transferred to Kansas City. In 2023, the NWSL said the team would return under new ownership under David Blitzer and Ryan Smith. So Saturday was a big step forward for the Utah Royals. And congrats to Bay FC, as four founding owners, Brandi Chastain, Allie Wagner, Danielle Slayton, and Leslie Osborne, were on hand in Los Angeles as they watched their team make their debut on Sunday with a win over Angel City. So a big weekend for the NWSL. Speaking of Angel City, Sportico was first to report on Friday that Angel City, last year's Team of the Year at the Sports Business Awards and one of the most talked about teams in all of sports, has retained New York investment bank Moelis & Company to manage a possible sale of the club. Now, Moelis has been given approval to seek an investor that would assume control of Angel City's board, which has reportedly been at odds for months over spending on players. So the team spending has reportedly led to a dispute among the team's original investor owners. And reportedly, Angel City majority owner Alexis Ohanian has pushed for this change because he's not pleased about the team's spending. So while Ohanian intends to keep his equity in the team, others in Angel City's ownership group, which has more than 100 investors, could cash out and a new lead investor could take over. This will be closely watched because this will likely set a new record, a new price tag for a women's sports team. So interesting how we always talked about how many owners were part of Angel City FC. Apparently, all those voices, sometimes it can be tough to get along. The big news also on Friday was that leaders in college sports have agreed on a new college football playoff structure after a lot of negotiations. So the 9 FBS conferences and Notre Dame reached agreements on a new CFP contract that will begin in 2026. And this should lead to a 6-year extension with ESPN for the CFP's media rights. So this deal comes after real debate between conference commissioners over format and revenue. And so what are the key takeaways? Look at the revenue breakdown. SBJ's Ben Portnoy reports that the revenue breakdown for the new deal is expected to be roughly this. The Big Ten and the SEC get 29% of the revenue. The ACC, 17.25%. The Big 12, 14.75%. And the Group of Five independents get 9%. And Notre Dame gets 1%. Now, this is different than the last deal. Under the previous deal, 80% of the revenue was distributed mostly equally among the Power 5 schools and the Pac-12. But now, however, the SEC and the Big Ten will see more of the revenue than the others. And here's another interesting element. There will be an opener or a look-in provision for the 2028 season. So that will allow the leaders of the CFP to reevaluate format and revenue distribution. There also is a look-in provision that could kick in earlier than 2028 if there is material realignment in college football. So if there is another round of college realignment, the leaders would be able to review this deal and maybe change it. One final part. The deal is expected to run through 2032. That would line up with the NCAA's deal with ESPN that expires in 2032, and CBS Sports' and TNT's deal for the NCAA men's basketball tournament that also ends in 2032. So you could have all of college's rights on the market in 2032. So a lot of interesting things about this new CFP deal you're going to want to keep your eye on. Finally, here is a name to know. Pete Distad. He has been named CEO of the new sports streaming service, which was formed by ESPN, Fox, and Warner Brothers Discovery. Now, he most recently served as an executive at Apple. He was previously at Hulu, so he's got great experience. He will oversee this entire joint venture. He'll report to a board of directors. He'll be based in Los Angeles. And remember, this streaming service is scheduled to launch this fall. And staying with media, Bloomberg News reports that the Walt Disney Board is focusing on 4 divisional heads as part of a formal search for an eventual successor to Bob Iger. Now, the 4 people who are getting looked at as a possible successor to Iger includes ESPN chair's Jimmy Pitaro. So Jimmy Pitaro's star continues to rise at Disney. He is a very well-regarded leader, and Jimmy Pitaro could have a larger role at Disney in the future, his name being bandied about as a possible eventual successor to Bob Iger. So a lot going on this Monday, March 18th. That is your Morning Buzzcast. I'm Abe Madcor. Thanks for listening to the Buzzcast. Stay healthy. Be good to each other. I'll speak to you on Tuesday.